Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
Our next guest is not only performing at Helium Comedy Club tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday, but he's been in a ton of movies and TV shows as
and
well.
Good stuff. And video game.
Please welcome Adam Ray to the show this morning.
He also took ZzzQuil gummies last night.
Oh,
sorry to like piggyback on that promo. But,
are you hurting a little bit?
I actually feel pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see how this interview goes. But you know what I like about the ZzzQuil gummies, too? Not to be a walking, talking commercial for them, but I used to take NyQuil to fall asleep, but you'd have insane dreams. You know, like I'd have dreams about being like a cheetah running a daycare or like, you know, going down on like Katy Perry, but then like, you know, all of a sudden like a grand piano would come out of her and like,
wow.
It'd be like my alarm clock that would go off. So like really crazy stuff.
Dude, yeah. You know, maybe I should switch. Maybe I should try that.
Maybe you should.
I've never done drugs, so maybe that's just, that could be
NyQuil
my version
is
of tripping.
NyQuil pretty close to a
it
drug.
Is. Yeah, yeah.
I know you were talking about mushrooms earlier. Mm-hmm. I've had worse trips on NyQuil than I have on mushrooms.
you've done shrooms?
Oh yeah, a couple times.
Yeah.
And the first time I did it, I mean, I didn't even want to do it. I got peer pressured, you know,
okay.
Which I think every
it's
adult,
probably a lot.
Yeah, it is. It was just like, you know, one of those classic, your buddy tugs at your heartstrings. He's like, hey, man, shrooms tonight? You're like, no. He's like, come on. You're like, all right, well, when you put it like that, that's a good argument. Come on is a great point.
Yes.
And I was like, you know, I had like I talked to a Daddy Long Legs about global warming and like listened to a lot of Dave Matthews Band.
Oh, wow.
Cried at like the sun, but then just laughed so much. I did try to, you know, have some sexual intercourse on them at the end of the night, which is damn near impossible.
Okay. Because
there's just so many distractions, you know.
So there's a version of, like, Whiskey D?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Shroom D is, like, which I think they're playing at the Tower Theater next month.
Shroom D.
Coachella.
Yeah. But Whiskey D and Shroom D. There's just be a whole lineup.
D-Fest.
Yeah. Sponsored by ZzzQuil.
I would pay.
I would go see
that.
You know, I was like laughing at certain times because like, and she's like, you going to be able to do this or what? I was like, yeah, the beanbag is like taunting me in the corner. Like, there's just a lot going on. Like, maybe we should reschedule.
Is there anything that you know, so again, I'm not that familiar with these various things, but is there anything that you would take that would really enhance the sexual experience?
Oh boy. Well,
Drug wise.
Cocaine.
Cocaine.
Yeah.
Well, I still have yet to do, I've been around cocaine. Unfortunately, a lot in, especially like in college, and
it's big, right?
Never done it yet. But
yeah.
I got turned off of it because, like, the first time I was around it, I mean, smoked a ton of pot. But I mean, this guy came out of a bathroom. I was sitting on the couch, and he like ran right up to me. I hadn't seen him at this party yet, and he came out of the bathroom. In mid-conversation, just like, he's like, I'll tell you why baked potatoes are better than mashed potatoes. Like, dude, I've never met you before, man. You're picking up a conversation that never even started. And I was like, all right. And my buddy was like, that guy's just so, he's like, coked out. I was like, oh, that's what it does? I mean, I don't mind a good potato chat, but like,
that's
my favorite color first.
I'm very ADD, so a lot of times my wife, and God bless her for putting up with it, I'll turn to her and go, and then the guy goes out of the, I'm like, I've already had 3/4 of the conversation, and then I bring in, and she's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe that's like a cocaine type of
I think so.
Rush, yeah.
Probably with ADD, maybe cocaine balances you out. I don't know.
Cocaine, you become best friends, but only with other people that are doing cocaine as
right.
well. And that's it. Other people aren't invited.
Right. It seems like a pretty solo experience. Mm-hmm. And like if you're the one guy on cocaine at a party, like again, you stand out, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you would definitely.
If you're just
stand
like shadow
out.
Boxing in the corner,
right.
people are like, well, nobody, there's no fight tonight, man. He's like, you don't know that.
You don't
know. You guys gotta stay alive. That's right.
Hey, Adam, we were kind of playing around with band names and concerts and so forth just a second ago. And
I
did read that you're a huge Pearl Jam fan. You know, they probably have new music out this week.
What?
We just found out yesterday.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
With tour information, too.
Yeah. What?
Maybe. Well, Nick, they've been kind of teasing at tours, right? Nick?
Yeah, so they can really drop a record whenever they want at this point,
of
but
course.
Apparently they've been recording for a while.
Them and Chumbawamba can drop
Chumbawamba.
A record anytime they want.
Well, they got a lot of back catalog. Well,
varying degrees of impact, but they can both do it.
So, and they don't necessarily have to work with a record company to promote the stuff anymore, so
that's
they can
amazing.
Just get it to the record company, and then the rumor is that it'll be backed by a tour. I'd be surprised if that didn't happen.
But they could
just put the whole record out at once, which is very different than they did, you know, 20 years ago or even 10 years ago.
How hardcore? How many times have you seen them in concert?
Well, look, I wish I was. I've only seen them twice.
Okay.
So that's not, I mean, I'm maybe more Foo Fighters. I've seen them times. But
that's
I mean, like, I love Eddie Vedder's. Just got, you know, I sing Better Man at karaoke. nine tequilas deep every time and try to really think I am him.
Yeah.
I've sung that at karaoke,
Oh, yeah, it's great, right? Yeah, people get into it. It's one of those songs, too, that, like, you find yourself unexpectedly getting too into.
Yeah.
And you're that guy now at karaoke that's, like, almost choking yourself up.
You really do think you're any
like,
better, too.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You're like, man, 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 man. And everyone's like, all right, dude.
Yeah.
Put your pants on. But I met Eddie Vedder at Bonnaroo. It was the first time I saw him. And they still had a pretty prominent comedy stage there. And he did this set with Judd Apatow.
Yeah.
Gary Shanley just passed away. And so Judd wrote this song about him. He collected all these notes from his journal and wrote this song and had he gave it to Eddie. And Eddie was like, yo, I'll write this song for you. Like, I'll just try to come up with something. I don't know what I'm going to do, you know. And he plays a song and it's like so sweet and melodic and just like real catchy and like real sweet. And like everyone's like kind of fighting back tears. And then like him and Judd hug and they walk off stage. And where he walks off, I'm just kind of like standing right there, like also with the buddy, like, no, that was unbelievable. And then he kind of walks up and just stands like in a circle. And he's like, hey, fellas, he's like, you want me to smoke right here? I'm like, no problem, Eddie Vedder. You do whatever you want, man. Like, you want me to, you know, smoke it for you and blow it in your mouth? You know, like, what do you want, man? I'm very vulnerable right now. And then I go, and I like didn't want to like bombard him for a picture, but
yeah.
I'm not a big, you know, try to be, I mean, you know, there's...
You try to give space.
You try to give space.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You
no,
want some of those memories
of
somebody like that.
Yeah, but, yeah.
And then I just had this, like, fight or flight moment, and I was like, you know what, man, like, build a little rapport, then maybe ask him. And so, like, we chatted for a little bit, and I was like, dude, do you mind, like, you know, also from Seattle, I don't know if that, like, means anything, and, like, you know, I played the clarinet. That also doesn't mean anything. I'm just giving you facts about me because I'm really intimidated, but I want a photo. And he was like, man, and he's like, I'm just, I'm still buzzing off the performance. I'm just buzzing. And I go, buzz away, man. And he just looked at me like, what? Like, I don't know what that means, but take it and run with it.
Oh, we had Patrick Warburton in here, and he was talking about he's a massive Pearl Jam fan well. So he was at his show, and he got a jersey that he thought.
Eddie gave him a jersey, and then he was showing it to his wife, and Patrick takes it and he sniffs it, and he goes. It's clean.
Yeah, that is a bummer. You wanted, like, oh, I wish it smelled like Ohio of 1998, you know?
Isn't it funny how you remember every awkward word that you uttered? But for him, it was just another moment in the day.
If I saw him, like, at a Starbucks tomorrow morning and was like, hey, buzz away, he'd be like, dude, seriously, I'm calling the cops. Like, you get out of the bathroom.
You're the buzz
stall.
Away guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. Yeah, but that's the liability you run all the time. When you know, so we have a lot of people come through here. And it's like, oh, man, I want to meet him, but I don't want to meet him. Because I don't.
Of course.
Because for that very fear that you're going to say something or they're going to turn out to be a dick.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's like you don't want to meet your heroes, but then you want you want that moment. Like, I was at a Clippers game, and Beyonce and Jay-Z were walking towards the exit, and I had gotten some seats kind of up close. So I was, like, near them, and I was like, man, I want a moment. Like, I didn't think I'd be on the same planet as Beyonce, let alone the same arena. So
right,
like,
yeah.
And, you know, I'm like 6'5", catonics deep, so she's getting close to the exit, and I just panicked, and I went, Beyonce! And just screamed her name at her drunk. And then she turned around, and I did not have a follow-up move. And she turns around, and I just kind of like gave her like a double thumbs up. And I was telling my buddy, I was like, I think deep down subconsciously I was hoping I'd go, Beyonce! And she'd turn around and go, there you are. Get out of here, Jay-Z.
What's your
this
story?
Jew's gonna make me some babies. You know?
Your story with it's Patron, Kings of Leon. And
oh yeah,
this is a classic. Right?
Oh man, that's I animated that bit.
Okay.
I mean,
can you give us the cliff notes on it?
I mean, basically, I got drunk with the Kings of Leon, drank all their booze, stole beefaroni from a hotel, and got kicked out. Those are the cliff notes. But the short version, yeah, I went to this, I was opening for my buddy Adam Devine, and we...
it was great.
Amazing. We had a couple nights off, and so he's like, do you guys want to go to this Kings of Leon concert? I know some guys in the band, we can hang out and go to the show. And I'm like, yeah, dude, I'd love to. Like, that's what you bring to the table for being that famous. Like, I'm on that level. Like, afterwards, if you guys want some free broccoli cheddar soup, I got a buddy who manages a Panera not too far from
that.
So, you know, it's not a free concert, but it's soup. And so we go to the show, and it was one of those just like Hakuna Matata nights where you're feeling good. You look in the mirror pre-night, and you're just like, I'm rested. I'm like, and then all of a sudden, I just drank a bottle of Patron by myself, and it's like 9:45 at night, and I'm just hammered. And I hadn't eaten, so I'm hammered and hungry. And you get a very apocalyptic mindset about food. So at one point, I saw a bowl of Jolly Ranchers, and I started shoveling them in my pants. Because in my like apocalyptic drunk brain, I was like, if the world ends tonight, I'm going to need treats for the journey. And so Nathan, the drummer, comes in. He tries to like make light of the situation. He's like, hey, man, leave some for the rest of us. And I was was like, and kept shoveling Jolly Ranchers in my pants. And then I just got out of there and went back to the hotel and, like, grabbed three cans of beefaroni off the shelf. Went up to my room and put them in the microwave and for like 9.5 minutes and then it blew up and then didn't turn the lights on because I had boozy confidence because I was just like I thought I could see in the dark and I tripped over my suitcase and there's beefaroni all over the bed and the maids called at like 8:30 in the morning and the front desk was like Mr. Ray everything okay I was like yeah man I was eating Kings of Leon with the Jolly Ranchers last night man my life rules. And he's like, I'm glad you're feeling okay because the maids came in at 8 a.m. and found blood all over your bed.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, in a drunk, disarrayed state. So I'm just like, blood? Like, who came in and bled on my bed in the middle of the night? Like, that's not fair. You said this was a blood-free hotel. And he's like, we never said that. I'm like, well, you should have. And so then I put two and two together and I was like, oh, no, beefaroni sheets.
Yeah.
And then it's just silent on the other end of the phone. And I was like, oh, yeah, you can't just say no, beefaroni sheets and expect anybody to understand what the hell you're talking about. And so then he's like, yeah, all right, I'm glad that's what it is. And I'm like, yeah, man, I think the bigger question is, like, what's going on in the heads of your maids where they can't differentiate between chunky pasta sauce and a possible crime scene?
Yeah.
And then he's like, you need to come down and pay for that beefaroni. We have you on security cam, like, grabbing three cans.
So you grabbed that out of, like, the little courtesy store
out of the hotel. Yeah. Store leftovers.
Yeah.
Which is a bold move. Like, there's been times, too, where I'm like, yo, if no one's back there, it was like 3 a.m. And it's like, you got to give the courtesy, like, yo, you know? And if no one comes out, then it's like, beefaroni is like on the table.
Yeah. It is annoying because we do a charity drive, a big camp out thing, and we stay at a great hotel. And, but it was like 3:45, 4 o'clock in the morning, and there was nobody readily accessible, and all I wanted was just a small little pack of four Chips Ahoy cookies.
Yeah, that's all you wanted.
I'm thinking, do I commit this act of crime and just walk away? And you just put them back. But I know it's a lot to pay someone to sit there all night long, but there should be someone there.
There should be someone there, especially late night.
Like, you would have avoided your crime.
At a Holiday Inn Express, like, you got to assume drunk people are going to steal your food.
Seriously.
You
know?
Yeah.
By the way, I
also don't have it there. Like, who's going to walk in daytime and be like, can I get two cans of beefaroni?
Right.
No, that's a late night snack.
That's it.
Chef Boyardee, like, that's why he's even looked like his grin is on the can, just like, I dare you to steal me, you know? Like,
by the way, I looked it up real quick, and I think Beefaroni Sheets is playing Bonnaroo.
Oh, wow. Beefaroni Sheets. They're on the D Festival.
Hey.
I never put that together. I actually have Beefaroni Sheet shirts on my site. But
do you really?
As a band, that's actually a great... I will be so honored if somebody ever makes that band.
We have a running list of band names.
Do you really?
That's going to go.
How about Radioactive Midget Queef? Is that
Radioactive Midget Queef?
Is that
that's a good one?
You have that one.
That's
that
a good one.
That's new. They just played SNL. Yeah,
they did. Yeah,
for sure. All right. It's all Tracy Chapman covers. Though.
that's my jam. So yeah,
Adam, I wanted to ask you about American Vandal because Tony Yacine is from the area. We've had him on the show a couple times.
Oh man, he's the best.
He's great and really talented. And did you do one season or two?
One season. The second season.
Yeah, you're the cop in the second season. Yeah. And that is such a brilliant concept for a show.
Right?
And the fact that they were able to get a second season after the first because you didn't know if it was going to be one trick. Pony, and then even with the first season, you're like, how are they going to make this an entire season? And then they do very creatively, and you get invested in this fake story that is not at all legit. Was that fun to be a part of?
It was the best. I mean, like, you know, who doesn't love a good poop crime festival? You know, and they're just so good. I mean, I was reading these scripts, and I'm like, every episode, I'm like, oh, that guy did it, or that girl did it. And then all of a sudden, like, at the end, you're like, oh, wait, they didn't? And then it's just like they're so brilliant with twisting around storylines and introducing new characters and having it be so believable, right? And obviously the way it's shot, like, is such a huge part of
it. And you made a viable cop. I mean, you know.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, so it's funny because it floats just at that realm where it's you are invited to try to figure out who's doing it.
Right.
You could dismiss that and just go with the, with the flow of the comedy.
Yeah, but you forget that it's a joke sometimes.
But
you know?
It engages you enough to make you want to go along for the ride.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that was tough, too, is you know, as a comic, obviously, like, I'm wanting to, you know, insert jokes more so than not. But also, you know, like, I went to acting school. I'm like, all right, I want to showcase so I can do that. But then, and Tony was really generous, too, because him and I met over, we did a trailer for Adam Devine's house party. And Tony and I met in New Orleans and basically had to make a trailer for Adam Devine's house party, the stand-up show, like, off the cuff. So, like, we basically went around New Orleans from like 9 p.m. until 3 a.m. just drunk, like making a, like shooting a bunch of footage, like anything we could get.
Just guerrilla style?
Just guerrilla style.
Wow.
And so that was, after that, he was kind of like, yeah, man, like definitely like anytime you feel something, like do it because I want to not hold you back. But then like he was real good about being like, all right, this is more in context and more in line with what's happening. And like that joke is really funny, but like you want to keep the realness to it, right? And so if something is so funny, it might take you out of it. So
right,
it's like,
right,
you gotta
right.
Say
it's got to be right there.
Yeah.
It has to be tonally perfect.
Totally.
Do you have a you've been in a number of Paul Feig films.
Oh, but, yeah.
So are you guys buds at this point?
Yeah.
Is that because, I mean, that's a he's super talented. We've had him on the show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and
was he in a just dapper suit?
No, he was on the phone, but he was great.
Well, he was probably wearing a suit.
Yeah. He's probably wearing a suit. But just a super talented guy.
Yeah.
And that's a great relationship. So
totally.
Do you, without assuming, you figure you'll end up in...
Oh, yeah. He told me, I mean, I just did this little pilot for him, and he basically says, like, you know, he's like, you're my go-to guy to do, something in everything. And then I'm like,
that's very cool.
I'm like, how about make me your lead go-to guy in everything? You know, Jason Statham ain't that cool, you know? But yeah, after we did the
you did the Heat, Spy, and Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
the reboot.
Ghostbusters was so cool because, like, man, it's like, you know, I got a couple, like, you let me voice Slimer, which was cool, but then there was only a couple lines of my scene that got in, but, like, during that scene where they catch a ghost, like,
yeah.
We shot this, like 10-day scene where he had a stunt guy for me, and I was, like, getting attacked on stage and dragged off the stage and up in the air, and they put me in this apparatus where they put me, upside down and screaming and then dropping
it.
So it was, like, this whole thing, and then he sent me an email, like, 2 days before. He's like, man, like, that whole scene is pretty much cut down. You have, like, a couple seconds of screen time because, you know, you got to make time for the ladies.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know, all this side stuff with this lead singer that doesn't matter. Like, no one's walking out being like, we needed more of that guy, you know, except for my mom and all her friends at Temple. They're like, why didn't your arms look, you need to hit the gym, sweetheart.
But it is cool, Wolverine-ish. I mean, to have that. And you, now, Tomb Raider, you did voice work for that? Have you done a lot of video games?
Wait, the game?
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of that.
No,
I
actually did all of Angelina Jolie's ADR. So,
no, I'm about
to go back
I'm,
and watch it.
It's a great game.
45% way through the game right now.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I'm playing Tomb Raider. Who do you voice in that?
Man, I just did a bunch of voices, so
okay.
I don't even know one specifically.
Do you take that?
This was, you know, a handful of years ago, but it was great. It's a little more challenging. I mean, I do more, like, I'm voicing this talking horse, Swiftwind, on Netflix's She-Ra right now, and that's more, like, in my range, because when you're doing video games, like, it's a lot of screaming and intense and, like, early, too, so... And my pipes are obviously, like, not, it takes a minute to warm up.
Right.
You know, I sound like you bought, you know, a Barbie that was sold from 7-Eleven just with a smoker's voice. But, it's really, like, hard on the pipes. But, yeah, it's awesome. It's like, you know, because I play those games, too, so.
Oh, that's cool.
If you're just tuning in, Adam Ray is who we're speaking with. He's going to be at Helium Comedy Club tomorrow night and Friday and Saturday. So, tonight, you got the night off. You're just going to hang out.
Tonight I'm hanging, yeah. I'm trying I still have yet to... Like, have a Philly cheesesteak.
Oh, so you haven't had the experience,
no.
Really?
I ran up the Rocky Steps.
Okay. All right.
Last time I was here. That was pretty cool. What's that?
How'd you do?
Pretty good. I got tired halfway up. But it's a long... I heard that Brad, my podcast co-host, ran up the stairs. He's actually still running up them right now.
He's
taken him a couple days.
Brad Williams.
He slam dunked on that very...
That was unbelievable.
And he's a wild guy.
He's quite the athlete.
He is.
He's any... I was just... saying that Brad, anything physically, like, to see him do is just, like, the best. Like, I walked in on him having sex at a house party, like, 2 years into being friends with him, and it was...
Yeah, because he's a freak.
It's like a lunar eclipse when you see a dwarf having sex. You're like, this probably happens once a year.
Yeah, by the way, let me clarify. Yeah. A freak, I mean a sex freak.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the fact that he's a dwarf, he's a freak.
Oh, my. Nice. Dude,
no, he is a sex freak.
A little bit of both.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
See the size of
what the hell did he just say? He's not even human.
Hey, man.
No, but he's, you remember...
He's got a beautiful butt, tiny hands. But he, it was... That footage is unreal. Yeah, he, it was, I mean, seeing, you know, I'd never seen a dwarf have sex before, so I was, like, frozen in the hallway as, like, a fan and a concerned friend. I was like, dude, slow down, you're gonna burst into cookies. Like, you know, I made a wish, like,
cookies.
My eyes were wide. Yeah, it was just,
Oh, that's great.
It wasn't even on my bucket list seeing that, and I saw it, I went home, wrote it down, and crossed it off my bucket list.
But the menu that he has,
Sexually,
is incredible.
He's got a whole barrage of moves. And he's also like a bucket list item. So there are, like, he's told me stories where women in the show, he's mentioned it, and then, like, I think it was in Denver, and a woman stood up and was like, "You're on my bucket list," you know, and then, you know, he took care of business, apparently.
I'm looking
Not
at
now
a,
he's married.
But. I'm looking at a picture of the two of you and Tiffany Thiessen, who I guess was on your podcast. And
Kelly Kapowski.
You're in L.A., I guess, right?
Yeah.
Is it easy to book big guests for podcasts? Because it's a pain in the ass around here, because we don't have all these stars living around here. Because, I mean, you got Tiffany Thiessen to come by. Not that you're not well-known enough, but you know.
That's a big one. Doesn't Dustin Diamond live out here?
Yeah. No, we've had him on.
But also, you don't have to do it at, like, 6 o'clock in the morning. You can do it kind of when
that's a big, it's a little more flexible. Brad and I, you know, we've booked it. You know, I pretty much book it now, but Brad, you know, helped us get Dana Carvey and Dave Attell and Neil Patrick Harris. But then, like, you know, I got a Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy and Jason Derulo and Joel McHale. Yeah. And it's kind of one of these things where we've both been in it now, 11 years for me, and I think it was 16, 17 for Brad. So, like, you get to a point where you know everybody because you're doing all the shows around town. And
you call in favors, and then you do their podcast, and they reciprocate.
Totally. And and sometimes it's a Hail Mary. Like, with Jason Derulo, I met him for one thing. We were promoting Mad TV on Extra, and it was, like, me, him, and this guy that was The Bachelor. And I was just, like, ripping on this guy who was The Bachelor. His name was Nick Vial. And real hard, and Derulo was laughing, and at the end he was like, "Man, that was hilarious." I was like, "You should come to one of my shows, man." He's like, "Yeah, take my number." I was like, "Yeah, let's be best friends, Jason Derulo, you know, and put me in one of your songs, you know." And then we went to his, like, studio and did the podcast, and he told Brad he was going to put him in one of his music videos, like riding a pit bull, which hasn't happened yet. So, hey, JD, if you're listening,
that's
Brad
hilarious.
Is waiting.
Did you get Joel McHale through Paul Feig?
No, through I met Joel at at the Comedy Store one night, and then we just, you know, hit it off over Seattle, and you know, he was on. I grew up watching him. He was on this show called Almost Live, which was like Saturday Night Live for Seattle, and so you know, we talked. You know, I kind of
it's on YouTube. I mean, I had never heard of this show.
Yeah, did he talk about it?
No, we talked about it. He's been on a couple times. Yeah. But I wish next time we talk to him because
it's great.
Actually a good show.
Yeah, it's great, and so. Man, you guys are so good with the clips. Look at this, huh? That's my apartment.
Nice. You were in a show with Joey McIntyre and Marissa.
Are you a blockhead?
No, but Marissa over here is. And
I didn't know they were called that.
She said to me.
You want tickets? So I'll get up for you next time.
She said to me that she would give me 10% of her Venmo balance right now if you could get him
to sing Please Don't Go Girl. Him and get him to sing it right now.
She wants him in the studio because he lives in New York now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just had Thanksgiving at his place.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. It's so funny. I actually told him to make the trip down to come to the shows this weekend, but he's now prepping for a musical. But it still could happen. But I'll make that.
All right.
Yeah.
Musical do you know?
Waitress.
Oh, based on the indie film.
Based on the Denny's. Yeah, the Denny's that's around the corner here. Yeah. There's, Jasmine, I think, is her name. Yeah.
Is it true
Joey in here.
Is it true that you played Danny Zuko in Grease when you were in high school?
You guys did talk to my mom, didn't you?
He also played the Cowardly Lion in the sixth grade, which I thought was his best performance to date.
That's a dream role for me.
The Cowardly Lion?
Zuko? No.
Dude, I was like, Zuko. Oh, okay. By the way, I was a big fat kid when I played the Cowardly Lion, so it was the first time in the history of the story that when he got to Oz, he asked for ice cream cake.
He didn't want courage.
Just an ice cream cake. Give me that meatball parmesan. But no, Zuko, it was a fun role. I quit football to do Danny Zuko in Grease. And as you can imagine, my coach was super understanding. And I tried to make a joke, and I was like, "Hey, coach, I'm not going to be able to play this year because I can't memorize the playbook. I got to memorize the lyrics to Grease Lightning." And he just kind of pauses and goes, "You know, get the F out of my office." But so he's a great guy. But
I think you won.
But after I did, you know, it's so funny because the plays were such a big deal in our community growing up. So you know, you take all these field trips as a kid, and good God,
yeah. A picture of him as Danny.
Oh, that's boy. Great. Yeah, I remember, dude, she had such bad breath when we had a kiss.
Oh, no.
I'll never forget
that. The actress with you in this picture?
I'll never forget it.
What's her name?
She was like a freshman. I was a sophomore. Rachel.
Did you ever try to broker how about a breath mint thing, or did you just...
That is a tough move. I tried to... I should have... If I had enough, like, you know, chutzpah, I wish I had done it, like, during the show.
Right.
You know, because then you really know there's a problem.
Right,
she's like, "Is that an improvised line?" I'm like, "No, it's just the truth being thrown at you during the show," you know? Like,
Could you kiss her and spit a breath mint into her mouth?
I mean, that is a... Dude, I wish I was that cool as a sophomore to be able to... But, like, look at that leather jacket, man.
Dude, you look good, though.
Those chops, it's so funny. I rocked those sideburns for probably like a couple months after that.
Yeah.
You know, because I was like, oh, yeah, I should like keep these sideburns. Like, it's one of those things, too, where, as like a dude, when you start to like rock facial hair you've never had, you're like, maybe I'll just have a mustache for a couple weeks and have candy in my pocket, right, and not have it be a big deal, you know?
What year is this?
That is 1999.
So, all right, sideburns were in.
Yeah,
sideburns were in. Sideburns
were Luke Perry, Jason Priestley, and Hannah Ann Rowe.
Priestley, yeah.
Yeah,
Priestley was kind of the original Burns Bringer, right?
He's the Burns Bringer.
Burns Bringer. Another band.
Another band.
Write that name down.
Yeah, did that play, and then it was like, all right, I think acting is what I want to do. And it was also, you know, I mean, come on, like, there was a couple senior gals I got to make out with.
And that's always the legend. If you want to get laid, you get in the theater group.
I mean, thank good, like, you know, I mean, I guess it would have been great if it happened then, but, like, I wouldn't have had a clue, you know, but these girls were kind enough to give me a little make out in their car.
Yeah.
You know, which feels like a win, you know, as a sophomore.
Sure.
You're like, that's basically sex, you know. Tell you, everybody, you know.
Well, listen, Adam's not working until tomorrow night.
So what are we doing tonight?
Friday and Saturday. Exactly. I was going to say, if you
want to hang out, I need friends.
Patron and spaghetti.
I need Philly friends. What's the fanatic doing? Does he want to go to the Olive Garden? get some never-ending pasta, smoke a blunt?
We'll point you in the right cheese stick direction.
I love
that. We'll do that off air here. But Helium Comedy Club, you can go to heliumcomedy.com to get the tickets. You got to come back by here. Come back
anytime. I mean, look at your guys' guest list. This place is, and I've known about you guys from all the comics.
Oh, awesome.
It's a real treat to be here, so thanks
nice
for having
to meet
me.
You. Adam Ray, guys.
Yay!
Want more Preston and Steve? Get the whole show podcast or Bizarre Files at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.